Aren't you glad of love? Glad for the love. Let's take our Bibles, if you will, please, for a few moments here this morning. I want you to turn to John chapter 15, verse number 13. I appreciate each of you being here. I appreciate each one participating in the program. More than that, of course, we appreciate the men and women who have been willing to serve in our military. From the founding of our country until this very day, folks have had to be willing to go beyond who they are. They had to live beyond their own expectations, live beyond their own wants and their needs, to think about somebody else other than themselves. Though there's always a hope and a dream that, you know, you'll go and you'll serve and you'll come back victorious, there's always in the back of your mind and in the depths of your heart, in the pit of your stomach, that you may not return. But I'd like to draw a comparison here this morning. There was one who lived in the luxury, we live in the luxury of America. Most affluent nation probably has ever been on this earth. There's one who left the luxury, left the throne, left the accolades of the angels, knowing he would not come back without dying first. John chapter 15, verse 13 says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." There is greater love. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. As we've heard this morning, many patriots have given their lives for the love of their country and the love of their countrymen. There's no greater calling, no greater love, and yet no greater sacrifice than to give our lives that others may live. Let's have a word of prayer. This morning we're talking on this topic for a few moments. He died for love. He died for love. Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful for our nation. We're so grateful for the patriots that are willing to stand for our nation. We're grateful for the pilgrims, if you will, who had come for religious freedom. Lord, in our generation, we must also be willing to accept the cost if we are to sustain that freedom. Lord, we also know that that freedom will be given away when our nation gives our God away. May we stand for the cause of our country, but Lord, may we stand for the cause of Christ, for the two must go hand in hand. Lord, this morning, if there be one doesn't know Christ as their Savior, and they actually do not know yet freedom and liberty, we would still be in bondage. We're still in bondage of our own sin. But Jesus Christ answered the call to give His life, and He loved us and fought the battle on the cross. And though some may think He lost the battle because He died, actually, Lord, He won the battle and rose again victorious, proving that the victory had been won. Lord, speak to our hearts here this morning. Let us take this matter seriously, that we not in a flippantly way give away our country. We'll give You the praise, and we ask for Your Spirit to move in Christ's name. Amen. When we give ourselves for others, we cannot guarantee nor be assured of the response we will receive. And from those observing our actions and even those receiving the benefit of our actions may not respond in matters that we would in ways we would think. Some will be grateful and respond in love in return. Others may be indifferent to your sacrifice. Others will not understand or appreciate the efforts made, while still others may even mock or criticize your expression of love. So it was with many soldiers when our warriors came home from Vietnam. They had answered the call of their duty. And as many in years before them had done, out of love for their nation, they offered their lives as a sacrifice for the freedom of their country. By the way, there's several things out here in the display that Brother Alan Bonsall put in the lobby that you may want to stop by and see before you leave. And some of those things from Vietnam. Many of those that had been willing to die for, many of those who were given, their life was willing to be given for, simply shrugged off their struggles as if it meant nothing. Many were maimed and sustained life-changing injuries. Emotionally and mentally, many would never be the same. And yet many unknowing and ungrateful citizens have paid no attention. And some have even scorned those who served. That is seen through the selfish eyes of a sinful man. And so it has been with our Lord Jesus Christ and our Savior. You know, you hear the old tales of lovers leap, people who die because they lost a love. True love sacrifices not for what they have lost, but are willing to lose, to die so that others might live. Love is not selfish. Love gives with no expectation of reward in return. And so it has been with our Savior Jesus Christ. He came unto his own received him not. He gave his life a ransom for many, and yet many would not receive him. He willingly gave his life, and yet he was scorned and mocked. And even those now who stand for Christ are often scorned and mocked for standing for the one who died for their souls. But Jesus came as a Savior and not seeking to be a hero. Jesus was not seeking to gain, but seeking to give. Not to be ministered to, but to minister. Not to receive love, but to give love. Hebrews 12:1 tells us now, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let me say it this way in the context of what we're saying. Seeing the witness of those who have been willing to lay down their lives for our nation, for the Lord's sake, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as well, but we also see that Jesus was willing to bear our sins on the cross, suffering shame and disgrace and the cruelty of that cross. He says, knowing what has gone before us, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. What that means is making little of the shame. Making little, not allowing the shame to carry weight in his decision to follow through with his calling. Didn't think much. Listen, we knew there was going to be some shame. Knew there was going to be some heartache, but he put that aside. Made little of that. And he sat down at the right hand of the throne, the hand of God, the throne of God. Number one, I want you to understand this morning, as it has been with our American patriots, Jesus died for the love of his people. There is no other real explanation to suffer what they have suffered, to suffer what he has suffered. 1 John 4:9 tells us, in this was manifest, shown, made displayed. In this was manifested the love of God toward us. In the sacrifice that our patriots made, in this is manifested their love for our country, their patriotism, their desire to see something greater for the future generations. The patriots who saw what could become the alabaster cities. We have already sung about this morning. My wife and I recently went down to Williamsburg, which, of course, was right in the middle of all that during the Revolutionary War. There's no alabaster city in Williamsburg. There wasn't even indoor plumbing. No air conditioning. Well, they has a few fancy things, but there's no alabaster cities. So what did they see? They saw what could be. What might be. What if their course would sustain and continue, what God could make it to be. God, Jesus Christ, endured the cross for the joy that was set before him because of what can be. Not because of what is. God commends his love towards us while we were yet sinners. He died for us. He died for the ungodly. He didn't die because we're already a great prize. He died for the love so that for what we could be in Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How many mothers and fathers from their front porch or maybe from the train station or from the dock waved to their son or their daughter as they set on a course that may be their own physical demise. Yet stand proud for a child who stood for truth and justice, that fought for the American nation so that others might live. And our Heavenly Father said, I'll give my son so that others might live. Jesus died for everyone. Whether they appreciate the sacrifice and accept deliverance or not. Those men and women came back from Vietnam were scorned. They fought for us, whether they got in return the accolades that they should have gotten or not. John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. As it was with our American patriots, Jesus died for the love of his people. Number two, just as we do not deserve to have these patriots die for us, we do not deserve to have Jesus die for us. Recently, if you've watched the TV, there's been a few times where they've brought home the remains. Not too long ago, they found some that were remains from the Civil War. I think recently, just this week, was some from the First World War, and then some Second World War, and from Japan. 19, 20-year-olds, 21-year-olds. Prime of their life. My son gave the announcements this morning. He's 22. You have hopes. You have dreams. You've watched them grow. They're just now beginning to be able to start life. Gone. We don't deserve that. Why should we live when the others die? I saw a news article, and there was a man, an older man was in World War II. His battalion had gone into battle, and there was 200 and some in the platoon, if I remember right. I think it was like 37 or something came out of that battle. I don't quote me on the numbers, but it was that type of thing. He says, I'm thankful every day that I'm alive. Why did God let me live while the others died? We're not a perfect nation. We're not a perfect people. Our nation has been involved with things over the years which no nation should entangle themselves. And yet our patriots have given their lives in hope of a new beginning every time. Romans 5, 6 says, for when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Only in recent years has the terrorist battle been brought onto our shores. For so many years, God has had his hand on our nation. And other than the Civil War, which we brought on ourselves, we have not been invaded by foreign nations. Saved from wrath through him. But when we push out our Savior, we may need to be careful. You push out your God, you push out your strength, your fortress, your high tower, your refuge, your victor. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. We don't deserve to be living in a place of in place of that person. Much less do we deserve to be enjoying all that life brings to us. We're going to be enjoying life and the blessings of life while another person lies dead in a grave. Just as we do not deserve to have our patriots die for us, we do not deserve to have Jesus die for us. Number three, just as our patriots served us because of love, we should serve others because of love. Whether it is to serve our nation, our country, and our countrymen, or whether it is to serve mankind so that others may know Christ and believe, and have life, and life more abundantly. World War I was to be the war to end all wars. World War II was to be the war to end all wars. As long as there are sinful people in the world, there are going to be wars. The generations to come are going to also fight and be willing to die for the deliverance of their people. These people who have had their previous generation die for them so that they can live are going to have to give their lives so that the next generation may live. Well, Jesus died so we could live. And we may have to die to self and maybe even our physical self, so that others may have access to the truth, so that the next generation may live. See, those who die on the battlefield in this generation are not dying for their life, but for the life of the next generation. But that's because they had life, because someone in the generation before them was willing to die and pay the cost. And if we just kind of roll over and play dead, we're going to lose our country. But if we roll over and play dead spirits, we're going to lose even greater things, the souls of our countrymen. And when we lose the souls of the countrymen, we're going to lose our country as well. This nation was great when it was one nation under God. Amen. Under, submitting to, in subjection to, less than, not deciding what's truth, not deciding what's right, not deciding what the way the world should be, but in subjection to the Almighty God who's given us the Word of God by which we are to live, by which we have life, through His Son Jesus Christ who died and paid for our sins. Listen, Jesus died so we can live. 1 John 3:16, I read it a little while. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for others, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Not just the ones who are alive now, but the ones who are going to be alive because the gospel has been continued. Chapter 4, verse 9, 1 John says, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Someone died to give us life. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time, and if we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. If you go on, you read it, it says, we know that we pass from death into life. You know that we are indwelt by Him because He's given us of His Spirit. Love, joy, peace. We're the victors. We've been made alive in Christ. And yet we're ready to throw the towel in because the dishwasher broke. Transmission went out. God doesn't care about me. You know, we were down in Williamsburg, and she was. We went into the weaver's house there, and she was weaving blankets. And of course, telling all the processes that they have to go through to get one blanket. All by hand, laboriously. And yet, when you go down, actually many of their homes had details and fancy things about them that we wouldn't even bother with. They worked hard. They labored to get what they wanted to have. And we're right again to give up hope because the remote from the TV died and we got to walk over to it and come back down to her easy chair. Ready to pick the thing up and throw it through the window. God's forsaken me. A TV remote broke. 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. He died for all of us because we were all dead in sins. And that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. Why do we get together at least once a year? Well, probably the end of next month, we kind of have a God and Country Sunday there during July 4th weekend. I think it's July 3rd this year on Sunday, I think, or whatever, right that weekend there. Why do we get together on a day like today and wave the flag and hoot and holler a little bit? Because somebody died for us. Someone paid the ultimate price for us. They gave up all they had for us. But if He did that for us, well, shouldn't we do something? How many times have you heard a patriot said, listen, we're not going to let our country go because we're not going to say that they've died in vain. We got to fight for the rights and the freedoms of our countries, maybe in the greatest battlefield, Washington. So that these men haven't died in vain. But did Jesus die in vain? Well, I got my salvation. I'm going to heaven. But he died for all because all are dead. You realize that person who lives down the street from you that you know is not saved, Jesus died for their sins on him. And he's waiting for somebody on their street that is saved, which has an indwelling of the Holy Spirit, to go down with a simple little piece of paper that says, listen, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Most times in America, he's not asking us to take up a machine gun and go down and defend ourselves through the masses. We're afraid to give the gospel to someone. Well, I'm just not very good at it. I'll tell you what. When the Minutemen were getting ready for the Revolutionary War and the Redcoats came over, my guess, the guy who said, well, you know, I'm not really very good at shooting, I don't think he left his gun in the corner. When they saw them coming over the hill, they were going to shoot at something. I'm going to take a crack at it if I can. Same thing goes with winning our nation. You might not be the best, but take a crack at it. We might not hit them all, but we can at least scare a few off. I don't know, listen. Get them. And that he died for all, and they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. 2 Corinthians 5:16. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh. Yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, and who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us, the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead. Be ye reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made righteous, the righteousness of God in him. Somebody died to give us freedom. It is only right for us to give our lives so that someone else can have freedom. Number four. Are you willing to die to self so that others might live? Are you willing to die to self so that others might live? If our nation is going to survive for the next generation, our nation is going to have to turn to God once again. A nation turns to God as each individual turns to God. There's not a group plan. As the church of God, we are going to have to give our lives so that the nation might live. I'm serious. Literally. The church of God is going to have to give their lives so that the nation might live. Here's the neat thing. You're never too old to be in this group. I saw something on TV yesterday, last night or something. You ever heard of the Heimlich maneuver? Do you see this on TV? Mr. Heimlich was having dinner with some lady, and she started choking. She couldn't breathe. And he turned around, and he's 96 years old.
And he was talking on the TV. He said, so I was just going around, put my hands around there, and I put him in a poo.
And of course, she was kind of liked having his arms around her. Apparently, she was a little old lady, too. But anyway, In fact, they're starting to see each other a little bit. But anyway, she said, popped right out. Do you realize that was the first time he had ever used it? Did you see that? That was the first time he had ever actually used it. I thought, well, how did he know it worked? How did he know it was going to work? Everybody in the world knows the Heimlich maneuver works. How was he going to know? He never used it. Now, in theory, it looked good. How many of us know that this works and we never use it? We know it works. We've seen what it's done in our lives and lives of other people. Those who give themselves, and yet we never use it. What if he said, well, I'm 96 years old, it's too late now. She would have been gone. That's what she said, I would have been gone. Here's how it works. Real quick, I want you to see our ammunition. Here's our ammunition. Romans 10:9. That thou shalt confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You realize when our men and women die on the battlefield, they're dying for the whole country. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Thank you for the last one. Listen, he died for all of them. The one sitting in the prison house, he died for. Our ammunition, here's our call to duty. Verse 14 goes on and says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him on whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher, a proclaimer? By the way, this is where we can have some lady preachers. It's okay. Preach it, ladies. Give the gospel. Thank you, Miss Jerry. And how shall they preach except to be sent? And it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. You want pretty feet? Here's how you get it. And bring glad, just being funny, but bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. One last question, almost done. Are you willing to enlist? Are you willing to enlist? Now, listen. I grew up in a time when they had just lifted the draft. They had just lifted the draft. Walshers are not the most athletic people. And we're usually pretty big targets. Don't move real fast. Now, I think we need to give for our lives for our country. I do. But I had all kinds of decide, well, I'll go sing in the Marine choir or something. I'll do something like that because I don't think I'm much good out there. They're going to break two guys back just to get me back off the battlefield. And they feel like they have to do it. So, you know, what do you do? But I'm grateful for every person who have enlisted. See, I don't have to. No, you don't. You don't. You don't have to. But people still do. There's some in here that enlisted. Anybody in here that enlisted? Yeah, look at that. Enlisted. Did that on purpose. Some people say, well, they laid too long on one side and the brain done rolled out their ear. What's the matter with them? No, they're living for a cause. Living life on purpose. Living life beyond themselves so that others might have life. Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, set apart, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. There's not a mother or a father that really wants to send their child to their death. But in our previous generations, they stood and they realized there's something bigger than we are. And those parents say, well, you know, someone died for us. So I guess we have to give our children, it's our reasonable service. Only makes sense. Jesus Christ died for us. And if He died for us, are we not willing to live for Him? So that others might know. You realize it's just our reasonable service. If no one will go, the enemy who walks around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour is going to overtake us and conquer us, and we will not only lose our country, but the souls of many. Do you love your country? Do you love your family? Are you willing to invest your life in the eternity of others? You see, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Because herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation, the amends maker for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Should we not? God has an enlistment station. It's at His throne, and we come to Him in our heart. Are you willing to enlist? It's never too late. Father, thank You for speaking to our hearts here this morning. These folks have been very patient. Lord, we thank You for the men and women who have given their lives as a sacrifice for us that we might be able to have life. But Lord, even greater than that, we're grateful for You being willing to give Your Son, Your only begotten Son, the one who sits at the right hand, the one who is praised by the multitude of angels, the one that was with You at creation and created all that there is, and in Him all things consist, the perfect and the holy one. And yet You allowed Him to die with our sins on Him. Lord, may we present ourselves living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto You, which is our reasonable service, so that others might live. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. The piano and the organ is going to play.